Greetings in Jesus' name. It is a blessing to be here, blessing to partake in what is happening here this morning, worshiping together. What a blessing to be with a people of God. Onward, Christian soldiers, we just sang. And I appreciated the devotional, Brother Jonathan, and I trust that we can just keep adding to what we've already heard. I invite you to turn to the second letter of Peter. We were hearing from the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter this morning, and now I would like to go to the second book of Peter. I've been reading this book, this short three chapters, quite a bit in repetition lately, and I've been extremely blessed, and so I want to share a bit of that blessing this morning that God has given to me. My title is Remember These Things. Remember These Things. And so, for a text, we're going to look at chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, the first 15 verses. Let's begin reading in verse 1. And I'd like us to notice the things Peter is talking about and how many times he talks about things, these things, all things, that by these things, and so on. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. I trust this morning that you believe that we have been given some precious things. And we want to look at some of these things this morning. And clearly, the Apostle Peter is concerned that his audience, those that were hearing him or reading his letter then, as well as us today, because we are reading his words as given here in God's word, he's concerned that his audience then and now remembers these things. Verse 12, he says that I'm not negligent to remind you. Even though you know these things already and you practice them, I'm not negligent to remind you. And he goes on in verse 13, that as long as I am alive, I'm going to keep reminding you of these things. And he says why in verse 14 and 15, because I'm soon going to die. And after my death, I still want you to remember these things. This is of such utmost importance that, aside from all else, I am going to keep reminding you, no matter how well you seem to know these things, I do not want you to forget. By remembering these things, I don't think Peter just means remember, as in thinking about, but in practice, in doing. Because in verse 10 it says, for if ye do these things. And so in remembering, we must do. And if we do not do, we probably will not, we will forget. We will not remember. And so I have three questions this morning I would like to answer. As I read over 2 Peter, and I noticed that Paul just keeps bringing this up, these things. I asked three questions. What, why, and how? What things is Peter talking about, first of all? And then why? Why is this so important that we remember and do these things? And thirdly, how? What's our part? How do we do this? How do we remember these things? So I want to answer these three questions. First of all, what things must we remember and apply to our lives? And I want to say before we even begin to answer this, that I see two types, two categories of things that have been given to us. The first category or type of things are the things that God has given to us out of His unmerited favor and love. There is no merit on our part. There is no reason other than the love of God that He reached out and gave us these blessings, these beautiful promises. Secondly, I see things that are produced when we take the things that God has given to us and apply them. That's the second type of things we're looking at. And they are also very important. To illustrate these two types of things, I thought of years ago, I believe I was 19, I don't remember for sure. It's 12 years ago. I started working a new job where I work currently. And I was given a job, I think it was within the first week I worked there. It was very, very soon. I was still very new. And I was given a job, and a tech that had a lot of experience gave this to me and told me what needed done, this procedure, this certain repair that needed done. And it was somewhat involved. And he said, I'm leaving the shop, but here's everything you need. There was some special tools involved, not just the typical wrenches and things. He laid those certain tools I needed there. He also gave me the manual, showed me where in the manual I would find the answers to anything that could possibly come up. So he said, this is all you need. This is what needs done. I'm going to leave. And if you have any questions, you can call me. And so I see a little bit of the same thing here. All those things that were given to me is like the things that God has given to us. But then when I apply those things, or when more things happened. The job was able to be accomplished in spite of my ignorance at that time of what I was even getting into. I did not know how to do this. So first of all, the things that God has given to us out of his unmerited favor and love. And we see this especially in verses 1 to 4. I see a progression of a theme. And Peter builds this theme by repeating himself over and over. He says the same thing over and over again, and he strengthens it. It gets stronger each time, and he adds some variation. Verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Someone tell me, what have we obtained? According to verse 1, what have we obtained? Like precious faith. Do you have a precious faith this morning? Is it precious? And is it like? Is it the same faith that Peter had, that Peter is talking about? It's good to ponder that question. Do you have a is it precious to you, and is it the same faith that the Apostle Peter speaks of? How did we obtain this faith? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Is there anything that we have done? Yes, we must apply faith. We must grab a hold of faith. But if it was not for the mercy of God, there would be nothing to put our faith in. It's nothing that we have done in and of ourselves to gain this opportunity. Through our Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life for us. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Here we've been given grace and peace. And Peter is praying that it would be multiplied to us. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Jesus isn't just our Savior, he's also our Lord. He is King of our lives. Grace and peace. Verse 3, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to what? What are we called to? I don't mind if you interact this morning.
Glory and virtue.
Thank you. Called us to glory and virtue. We've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowing the one that called us above where we are. I hope you could see how, in a way, each of these verses says the same thing over, but it's like we get a bigger picture each time. We get to verse 4, and I would say that verse 4 is the climax of this repeating theme. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's what we're given, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Exceeding great and precious promises. But I want us to see more than just what God is giving to us here. We want to illustrate the theme is more than just that. And Peter's made it strong and clear by repeating it over and over. I'd like to try and understand this theme a little bit more. and add to it by illustrating on the board. Particularly, we get this from verse 4. What have we been partakers of? Or what can we be partakers of? Someone tell me. Partakers of the divine nature. Wow. Can we be partakers of the divine nature? What is the divine nature? Brother Lamar. God's nature. Jesus Christ, God Himself. Can we be partakers of the divine nature? That's awesome. That is amazing. I had to think of the verse in Colossians 3, 9 and 10. It says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him." Now, according to verse 4, we can be partakers because we have what? Give me one word. Just one word. We have done something, and thus we can be partakers. Believed? That's close. Faith?
Received?
You're all doing well, but it's not the one I want. There's something we did in verse 4. We have
escaped.
Thank you. We have escaped. Were we in bondage? Have we seen ourselves in bondage? We have escaped from what?
Corruption.
The corruption in the world. That moral decay and rottenness. We have escaped from that, and we aspire to be partakers of the divine nature. I don't know if everybody can see this down here, but I'm simply writing corruption in the world. What has brought about the corruption in the world? We're looking out of verse 4. What has brought about? What has brought us under bondage? Have we been in bondage to the corruption of the world? I trust we're not in bondage today, most of us. And we have escaped. What brought us there? What is the agent that has brought us and kept us in bondage to the corruption of the world? Verse 4.
The evil nature.
A word in verse. Verse 4. Yes. Lust.
Lust
is the agent that has brought us under the bondage of the corruption of the world. Okay? And I'm just writing this here like this just to illustrate kind of this funnel effect, that lust just drags us down. Lust is also what keeps us in bondage. There's four walls, that prison that keeps us in bondage to the world. The corruption, that moral decay and rottenness. Now I have a question. How far apart is corruption in the world and the divine nature? How far apart is that? Thank you. It is an infinite gulf. There's nothing that we can do of ourselves to become partakers of the divine nature. We are reliant upon God and His love towards us. And God has done that. He's given us precious things. And we've said that's what makes Him so precious, right? Because it is the only way. It is the only way that we can escape this corruption. All right, so thinking of earlier in the chapter, there was a number of things that were mentioned. Faith, grace and peace, precious promises, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But I'm going to illustrate with two of these that I think encapsulate the whole. As though it is two pillars that God has given to us. The first being precious faith, and the other precious promises. These two things, and one and of the same, because God has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's all of this. And we experience grace and peace in this. But it is through precious faith and precious promises that the power of lust can be broken. And there is made a way of escape from the corruption of the world that we find ourselves in. These are the things: precious faith, precious promises, that Peter is saying we need to remember. That's part of it. We didn't get to all of them yet, but that's part of it. We need to remember these things. We need to live in the reality of these things, of what God has done for us out of His love and mercy. All right. Secondly, things that are produced when we apply the things that God has given to us. And we find this, a list, in verses 5, 6, and 7. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And I don't know, there's probably some shortcomings of this illustration, but I would like us just to picture this way of escape from the corruption of the world to the divine nature as a ladder. And it is when we take the promises, the precious faith that God has given to us, and we lay a hold of faith, and we connect it to the promises of God, the precious promises that are in the Word of God. That's where we find them. In the Word of God, we find a way of escape. We find a ladder. And I would suggest that these things that happen when we do that are like the rungs of the ladder. Add to your faith. And I think in the context we can say add to your faith and to the promises of God, virtue. Someone tell me, maybe you could give me another word or words to describe virtue. Anyone studied that verse, that word?
Purity.
It would definitely include that.
Manliness.
Manly strength. Mm-hmm. Moral excellence is what I have come across. But I think it includes all these things. And to our virtue, to our moral excellence, we add, what's the next one?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Worldly knowledge? The knowledge of
God.
The knowledge of God, knowing Jesus. Are you growing in knowledge? Are you growing in virtue, in moral excellence? Are moral things of concern to you? And do you take knowledge of the things of Christ? Are you searching the Bible for truth? Are you growing in your understanding of Jesus? Knowing Jesus. What's next? Virtue, knowledge. Somebody give me another word that we could use.
Self-control.
Is self-control a part of your life? Is it something that you are growing in? If not, grab a hold of that precious faith that has been given to us. Find those precious promises in the Word of God and make self-control, make temperance a part of your life. Maybe I should be rewriting the words that we're replacing these words with just to make it more understandable at a glance. The next one is patience. Patience. What are some other words we could put in there? We understand patience. What are some other words?
Endurance,
steadfastness, yes. And I think of the battle that Jonathan was talking about this morning that we find ourselves in. Are we enduring? Are we steadfast through trials, through tribulation, and the things that are brought into our lives? Next to that, we have godliness. Godliness or holiness. Striving to be like Christ. What's next on the list after godliness? Brotherly kindness. Anybody know what Greek word is there? You can probably guess.
Philia.
No. Well, it's the word that we get, Philadelphia. Philadelphia, brotherly love. And that sounds related to that. I'm not a Greek scholar. Brotherly love. Love for one another. Are you, as a child of God, growing in love of the brethren? Love for each other. Do you care about the pains of others? And when struggle arises between us, or there's a conflict, do you apply yourself to, out of love for each other, to help in finding resolution to that? And of course, on top of that, charity or love. Love as the love of God. The love for God and for others, all people. Now, I know I picture this as a ladder, and I might just mention that I don't want to give this as a picture that we need to climb this ladder, and when we finally get to the top, we're partakers of the divine nature. There is a sense that if we are growing in these things, as we grow in Christ in our Christian walk, that we are partakers of the divine nature. What I want us to see, though, is that we are fleeing, we are escaping the corruption that is in the world. And I think we'll get an even clearer picture of that. That brings me to my next question. Why must we remember and apply these things? And we've already talked about to escape the corruption in the world and become partakers of the divine nature. That is the goal. Secondly, to be fruitful in Jesus Christ. If we look at verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." If these things be in you and abound, you'll be fruitful. Thirdly, why must we remember and apply these things? So we have spiritual vision. And don't forget, verse 9 says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Now, so many Christians that have escaped the corruption in the world, and Peter talks about this, Christians that have escaped the corruption in the world, they are growing in patience and temperance, and then their vision gets blurred. These things aren't in your life. You have blurry vision. You can't see afar off. And if you're on a ladder and you can't see the corruption that you're escaping from, and you don't have enough vision to see ahead to where you want to be, you're in a dangerous place. It's a situation that is going to end in disaster. And he hath forgotten. So to simply forget about these things here, we lose it. We lose it all. That is how we forget. That is how we do the opposite of remember. How serious is it if we forget? If we do not remember these things and we forget, how detrimental is it? Let's turn over to chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. It's talking about false teachers. It says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. There's the lust. That's what we have escaped from. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. If you're overcome of lust, you're brought in bondage of lust. That's where we got the arrows and the box. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again, after they've escaped, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the ways of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. If we don't have a spiritual vision, if we don't keep these things clear in our minds, our faith, the promises of God, and how they apply to our lives, we cannot see, and we will fall. We will be deceived. That's what chapter 2 is talking about, deception, false teachers, being deceived and fall from truth. But and what's astounding is Peter says that end is worse than if they never had started on this journey. The dog is turned to his own vomit, and the sow to her wallowing in the mire. That will be worse, the sow that was washed. It will be worse in the end than if we had never started. Now, I want to encourage us this morning. You know, young Christians, that may sound frightening, that to fall from this walk of life, to backslide in our Christian life, it is worse than if we had never started. That sounds scary. That sounds frightening. I just want to encourage us with the next point of why we must remember and apply these things. It is so that we are sure and never fall and avoid deception. If we look at verse 10 of chapter 1, it says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Can we have a calling and election sure? Do you believe that? For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. So it's pretty simple. Keep these things alive, and your vision will stay clear. Keep focused on these things, and don't allow the lust of the flesh to have their way in your life. And you can have that election sure. You can have the confidence that we are in Christ. Fifthly, why must we remember these things? Is so that we can enter the everlasting kingdom. Verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So now we have answered what things and why they are so important. Now I would like to answer how. You know, these things that we're talking about, if you can follow me here, it's not exactly, it's not us doing it in our own strength, okay? It's not like we just got to do this. It's by looking at the precious faith, taking faith, putting our confidence in the promises of God that we can grow in these things. But how do we do that? What do we need to apply? How do we make sure that we become partakers of the divine nature? I've heard at least one art teacher, and I think maybe more than one, and I think I've heard teachers that teach music and piano and things like that say the same thing, but I've heard at least one art teacher say that there are three things that you need to become a good artist. Maybe some of you can tell me what those three things are. What are the three things you need to become a good artist? That you need to do, three things you need to do to become a good artist. Number one, anybody know?
Practice.
What's number two?
Practice.
What's number three?
Practice.
The Apostle Peter says something very similar. How do we become partakers of the divine nature? Let's look at verse 5. It says, and beside this, giving all diligence. Peter gives three things, and number one is give diligence. Let's look at verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. The second thing is diligence. And now let's turn to chapter 3 and look at verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent. Peter says the first thing is diligence. The second thing is diligence. And thirdly, it's diligence. That is what we must apply. And if I can bring our minds back to the illustration, crude as it may be, in the beginning of that job I was facing as a very novice technician. I was given, here's all the information you need. Here's the manual. Here's the procedure. Here's what needs done. Here's the tools. It was all laid out. And I did not know. I did not have what it took. But I had to simply apply one thing, diligence, and take what was given to me and look at the goal, and the job was able to be accomplished. It is the same way in our Christian life. Keep our vision clear and apply diligence. In conclusion, I would just simply like to use the Apostle Peter's, some of his concluding words in chapter 3. We'll read a couple sections here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Peter says in verse 1 there, I'm calling you to remembrance. Once again, he keeps talking about this. That you would be mindful. Don't forget, you need to be mindful of the things I'm telling you, and the things you have, the things you've learned. Because in the last day, there's going to come scoffers. And what are they walking after? Their lust. I think I may have missed it. What is lust? I meant to cover that earlier. What is lust?
Strong desire.
And I would say an unlawful desire for things that it is unlawful to have. That is lust. Scoffers walking after their own lusts. If we are not going to fall prey, We need to be mindful. Verse 11, chapter 3, verse 11 says, "Seeing then that all these things," there it is, "all these things," oh, I'm sorry, that's another things, "all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Verse 17. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." If we don't have clear vision and are remembering and applying these things, we're going to fall. We're going to fall off the ladder, as it were, in my illustration, and we will be brought in bondage of lust once again. We heard earlier Jonathan was talking about Satan. And I agree that Satan is our enemy. We have an enemy that is without. But we also have the flesh. And we have lust, an enemy within, unlawful desire. And if I can draw on some of the illustrations Jonathan was making, if you were a military commander and you were facing a severe battle with another army, and there was a goal to be accomplished, and the intelligence, the folks that gathered your intelligence for you left you know of certainty that, yes, there's an enemy out there, and it's bad, it's going to be hard, but there's also, we've picked up that there's communication between them, and there's an appeal, there's something going back and forth between them and our own forces. We haven't fully identified it, but there's corruption in our own army. Somebody's in communication with them. Would that bother you? What would bother you more, the strength of the army out there or the corruption in your own forces? Absolutely it would. Absolutely it would. And yes, we are facing Satan. I'm not taking it away at all from the devotional. I think the devotional applies directly to these things. We need to be mindful of the corruption, that lust that wants to creep up in ourselves. Once again, let's look at verses 17 and 18 of chapter 3. For our closing words, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace, climb higher, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's pray. You may kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We are humbled to think of your great love for us, that we were in bondage to the corruption of this world, to the lust of our flesh, and our unlawful desires that come out of this body. Lord, I just thank you for your beautiful plan of salvation. You've given to us a faith, a precious faith, Lord. I pray that we would lay hold of that faith. And Lord, thank you for your word and the promises that we have, the many promises that you will guide us through those fiery trials that were talked about earlier. And as we face these difficulties in life and all the good things and the bad that come our way, Lord, that we could take our faith and ground it, connect it to the promises of God, and walk in virtue and in patience and knowledge. Lord, help us to have these Christian virtues in our lives. Help us to remember. Help us to always remember the things that Peter teaches to us this morning. Lord, I thank you for this body of believers. I pray that you would bless us now at the close of this service. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.